Siman Tov Kuf Chaf Gimel. So, just an addendum to yesterday, we spoke about the Shulchan Aruch told us that a blind man can't use his walking stick on Yontif. And Mishabura says, Hu Adin Zakein, if they need the stick mamish to walk, someone who's so old he can't walk without the stick, he's allowed to use the walking stick even in Rosh Hashanah, even on Shabbos, because that's considered his shoe. It's considered a shoe. But if he can walk without it, and a blind man certainly can walk without the stick doesn't help him physically walk, it helps him get where he's going. So then it's, what's the lashon that they use? It's an uvda d'chol. Rashi says it's a derechol zilusa diyantif. So I was thinking about this today, and I looked at Aruch HaShulchan. If something is a derechol and a zilusa diyantif, I would think that that doesn't matter if you're in the Rosh HaRabim or you're in the Rosh HaYochid. This activity is a zilusa diyantif. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, if you're in a place where it's also to carry, it's considered an uvda d'chol. But if you're in a place where you're allowed to carry, there's an Erev, whatever, so then it's not a Zilusa Diyantif. So Zilusa Diyantif depends on where you are. Now, I don't know if this is related at all, but let's say with my kids, if my daughter wants to ride a tricycle on Shabbos, so you want to ride on the Merpeset, I have no problem if my daughter rides a tricycle on the Merpeset. You want to ride in the street, that we call not Shabbos Dick. It's an usher. Can't say it's usher. Hard to say it's usher. You know, there's things that you could do, on your merpeset that it's, on your merpeset, it's not a big deal. To do it in public is more of a zilusa the Shabbos, a zilusa the yontif. So that's just my comparison. But the Aruch HaShulchan says it depends if you can carry or not. If you can carry, then it's not a zilusa the yontif to use the walking stick and the cane and the that stuff, and if you can't walk, so even though it's yontif, and Rosh Hashanah should be mutif, there's a tzorach hayom ksat, and there is a tzorach hayom if it's helping him walk, even though he doesn't need it, but it would still consider uvda d'chol, and a zilusa d'yontif. Okay, so that's just a touch-up from Tav Kuf Chaf Beis. Okay, there's another he'ara sort of on the last line, but it won't really makes sense right now, so maybe we'll save it. Tomorrow I would like to discuss at length the Shvisas Behema on Yontif, which is a very, very Labor Dika Sugya. On Shabbos, the Pasuk tells us our animals have to rest. Is that the case on Yontif as well? It's a major league, Machlokes HaPoskim. So Sif Dalid sort of doesn't allude to it, but because of what the Shulchan Aruch should have said, perhaps, but did it. We'll talk about more about that tomorrow. Now we're going to move on to Tav Kuf Chaf Gimel. So the Mishnah in Beitza, and Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, talks about combing the hair of the animal. There's two ways of combing a hair of an animal. One is something called Kirud, and something is called Kir Tzuf. Kirud is using a metal comb that have very thin teeth and are very sharp and often makes a bubu, makes a chabura in the animal, makes the animal bleed. Kirtsuf is a wooden comb, generally, with very thick teeth, which is not shayach to make any bubus or any chabura. So the Gemara, the Mishnah in Beitzach of Gimel Amud Aleph gives us three opinions regarding whether you can do this to your animal on Yontif. The first opinion is that of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, where he says, Mekardin es ha-behema b'yontif. You can use this sharp, thin-toothed metal comb on your animal on Yontif, even though it's going to create a chabura. Why are you allowed to do that? The Gemara explains, because it's not necessarily going to make a chabura. It's not necessarily going to make the animal bleed. And if it does make the animal bleed, it's a davar she'enu miskavin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds like Reb Shimon, who holds that a davar she'enu miskavin is mutter. If you don't intend for the byproduct to happen, I don't want the animal to bleed. That's not my intentions. And it's not for sure going to happen. It's not a secretion that's definitely going to happen. It's going to be mutter. So that's the first opinion in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ain makardin, because it makes a chabura, aval makartzefin. So, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the most lenient. You can even do makardin, even though it's going to make the animal bleed, because it doesn't always happen. Davar she'enu miskavin mutter. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso. Rabbi Yehuda holds a davar she'enu miskavin is aser. So he says that you can't use the sharp toothed comb that might make the animal bleed. Davar she'enu miskavin is aser. But the wooden comb is not going to make the animal bleed, so that is going to be mutter. And then the third opinion in the Mishnah is the Chachamim, and they say you can't do either one. Why can't you do either one? So the Chachamim of this Mishnah also hold, like Rabbi Yehuda, that a davar she'enu miskavin is aser. And therefore, you can't do you can't use the sharp tooth comb. And what about the wooden comb, which will never make the animal bleed? They have a gzeira, gazrina kirtzuf atu kiru. They have a gzeira. You can't use any comb at all, because if you're going to use the thick wooden comb, which is not going to make the animal bleed, next Shabbos, next Yontif, you'll use the metal comb. And therefore, they made a gzeira. And therefore, we have the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allows everything, Chachamim allow nothing, and Rabbi Yehuda allows the wooden one and not the metal one. Okay, the Gemara spells out the three opinions of the Mishnah. Gemara says, three-way machlokas, explains it just as we did. Okay, now the Torah brings down the Ri, who points out, now, there is no discussion over here about pulling out the hair of the animal. They're only focusing on making the animal bleed. So the Torah brings down the Ri, who holds that their, not who holds, but he says that their combs apparently did not pull out hair. The only thing they may have done, the metal ones, made the animal bleed, but it didn't pull out the hair. I guess because it was sharp, but the teeth weren't close together enough to pull out the hair, whatever it is. But our combs are for sure going to pull out the hair, and therefore, even if it doesn't make the animal bleed, you have a separate problem, and that is pulling out the hair, which he says is going to be a psikresha. It's for sure going to pull out hair, and it's going to be aser. So let's see that now in Shulchan Aruch. Tov, Kuf, Chav, Gimel. Dinim hanogim bebehemos biyantif. Aleph. Meisirim zvuvim hanitlim bebehema. You're allowed to take off the flies, or, I don't know, in English we usually call the flies that bother the dog fleas. Not flies, but fleas. But here we're talking about zvuvim, which is translated as flies. Maybe fleas attack dogs and flies attack cows. I don't know. Misirim zvuvim anitli bebehema. You're allowed to take off the flies that are on your behema. Afapi she'enosu chabura. Even though in doing so, you're going to make the animal bleed. Says the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Aleph. Ratzalomar biyad. You can use your hand. O b'magredet shel eitz. You can use a wooden comb, she'eino mukhro she'itale se'ara yedezeh, which is not definitely, there's not a psikresha that's going to pull out hair. Mashen came b'shal barzel, we assume it will definitely pull out hair. And even though it makes a chabur, it's okay. Why? Mishabasif katan beiz, ratzaloma, she'lif amim nasa chabra yedezeh. So here it says, even the wooden one can sometimes make the animal bleed, but it's still going to be okay. Kevan shehu eino miskavin lezeh, because it's a davar she'eino miskavin, and we pass in davar she'eino miskavin. If it's not definitely going to happen, and I don't intend for it to happen, it's going to be mutter. Sif beiz ein megardin behema b'magredes b'yontov neishem mashera seyar. Don't use the metal comb, because the metal comb is going to pull out hair. Mishabas of Katan Gimel, Hainu Shel Barzel, Shebavada Yitolesh Seara Yedezah, for sure it's going to pull out the hair. Va'av Shein Machavin Lazet, you know, I don't want to pull out the animal's hair. V'gamonichale Betulisha Seara, I have no benefit to the animal's hair being pulled out. Kaimelon Dehechadavi Psik Reisha, we hold that when it's for sure going to happen, means I'm not Miskavin to pull out the hair, but if it's definitely going to happen, it's called a Psik Reisha. Even if it's no lo nichale, he doesn't benefit from it, he doesn't want it. Shulchan Aruch Paskins is still going to be Aser. That is Sif Aleph and Sif Beis. The Bir Halacha, a little Bir Halacha on the bottom of the page. Dibar Masam Hashem Masheres Se'ar. Bishitu Mekubet, this is the Gamba Vadi Yesach Aburai Dezeh V'chemuchach B'Piskei Toysis. Okay, so he brings us back into the, I would say, the mainstream sugya over there in Beitza, which doesn't mention at all the pulling out of the air and focuses on the chabura. So he says this is also going to make a chabura. Okay. Sif, Gimel, and Dalet is based on a Mishnah in Shabbos, Kuf, Chav, Ches, Amud Beis, where the Mishnah tells us, Eimi Yaldinus Abhema Biyantiv, you're not allowed to deliver an animal baby from a mommy cow, mommy animal, on Shabbos, on Yantif. That means putting your hand into the womb of the animal and yanking out the baby from the mother. It then goes on to say that you can deliver a human baby on Shabbos. You can be Mechal Shabbos to deliver a human baby on Shabbos. And then it talks about the bris, on, I think it says bris mila on the eighth day, even on Shabbos. I don't remember. Something about bris. And that leads the Mishnayos into the next parak, which is the famous parak, Rabbi Elazar de Mila. Which is all of that's most of the my understanding Talmudic literature on Bris Mila comes from that Perek in Shabbos, Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila. So this is like the preview of, this is the Mishnah before Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila, which is moving in that direction. Starts with don't deliver an animal baby on Yontif, yes deliver a human baby on Shabbos Yontif, and do a bris, and then we have Perek Rabbeinu Demila. Okay, so let's see. Okay, so it's all based on the Mishnah over there and the Gemara's over there. So, Tav, Kuf, Chav, Gimel, Siv, Gimel. E miyadin behema biyantiv. You cannot give birth to, not give birth, you can't, I forgot what it's called, deliver a behema baby on yantiv. Mishibur, Siv, Katan, Dalid. Dehainu, limshach havlad min arechem, pull the baby out of the mother's womb. Deika tircha yaseira, that's considered excessive tircha for yantif. Aval, but what can you do? Misad, you know, so you can help the mother cow, mother animal. She'ochez bevad she'yipol la'aretz, you don't have to let the baby fall on the ground when he comes out. Although I imagine most, you know, for thousands of years, these animals were giving birth on their own, and I guess nothing happens if the baby falls out. They don't usually have a midwife there in Shari Tzedek Hospital delivering the cow babies. Like, that's how, you know, they're born to run wild and have babies. So I guess it's not such a big deal if the baby falls out. But you're allowed to catch the baby so the baby doesn't fall. You're even allowed to breathe into the nose of the animal to get out the gook that he has in his nose. And you can even put the udder of the mommy into the mouth of the baby. Even though, again, you know, the animals are doing this in the wild every day without your help, but you're still allowed to help your animals. Okay. Se'if dalin behema shericha kovlada. So sometimes a mother animal will do social distancing to the baby animal. And that's very, very sad. So we want to, and we are allowed to, and we are encouraged to break down the social barriers between the mommy and her baby. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Mutter lezalef, perish lishpoch, mei shel yasa alav. You're allowed to take the liquid from that came out of the mother and pour it on top of the baby. And that way the mother will smell the baby and remember her, him, it. You're pouring this gook from the womb on the baby, so the mother will smell the baby, and the mother will have mercy on her baby. Also, you could do something. The Shulchan Aruch continues. You could take a handful of salt and throw it inside the mother's womb right after she had a baby. That's got to be terribly painful. Barachma, why are you doing that? To cause her pain, says the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Zayin. Kidei Sheikh Avla, that will cause her pain. V'tizkor Tzar Leida, that will jog her memory, and she'll remember she gave birth to this baby, and she will have mercy on the baby and take care of the baby. You're doing this again, Kadesha Terachim Olav, says the Shulchan Aruch. Continues the Shulchan Aruch. Avalatameya, but a non-kosher animal, also lasos lakain, you can't do this to a non-kosher animal. Why can't you do this to a non-kosher animal? Nothing to do with, we're not racist, we don't like the kosher animals better than non-kosher animals, says the Mishmah Sif Kod Nuches, She'ena mikarvato la'olam acha shericha katu. Because a non-kosher animal, the way they're made, I guess, is that once they distance from their babies, these tricks are not going to help. It's not like we don't want to help the chamor because he's not kosher, or the horse because he's not kosher. We would want to help him as well, but it's not going to work. So if it's not going to work, then we don't do it. Whereas the way, I guess, Hashem made the kosher animals, they do respond to this kind of stimulation to renew that relationship with their offspring. I did see somewhere that usually the non-kosher animals don't distance from their babies. But if they do, it's not going to help. I'm pretty sure that's what I saw. But apparently the kosher animals are more likely to distance, but this trick will work to get them back in line. Hagad notes, says the Ramah, V'ayin le'elsin reish mem vav sif gimel ba'agah. See the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, the beginning of Chelek Gimel, Reish Mem Vav Siv Gimel in the Ramah, Im Adam Mitzuva Al Shvisas Behemto Biyantif. If a man is commanded on having his animal rest on Yantif. So this is the trigger, and I think tomorrow we're going to give Shir on it. There's three very big sources for this in Shulchan Aruch, one little one, which is right here, where it's just mentioned, sends us to the beginning of Chelek Gimel, Reish Mem Vav Gimel, where the Ramah there paskins that even though your animal must rest on Shabbos, your animal can't do any work on Shabbos, even if he's working for the guy, cannot do, you're in violation of a mitzvah saseh, he can't do any work at all for a human being. He can do work for himself. He's allowed to eat fresh grass that's attached to the ground. That's Mefurish and Chazal, but he can't work for humans, even if it's for a guy, even if you lend him to the neighbor. That's on Shabbos. On Yontif, the Ramah holds that that's a special pasuk by Shabbos, not relevant by Yontif. It's a big balagan, a big din in the poskim. In addition, in the very beginning of Hilchos Yontif, Tov, Tzadi, Hey, Sif, Gimel, the Mechaber makes a vague comment, so we're going to spend a lot of time on that tomorrow, going through the Maram Kohen is basically in Reish Mem Vav and Tov Tzadi Hei, based on Gemaras and Beitza, a little bit of Shabbos, a little Megillah, a little whatever. The whole Gansa Sugya, it's very, very exciting. So that we will do Bezrat Hashem tomorrow night. And that is the end of Tov Kuf Chaf Gimel.